Morning. I can hear people shouting morning down there, so I'll say morning as well. The notices for the coming week are as follows. This Tuesday at 7:30 p.m, the church members' meeting will be held in the Jubilee Hall. Another reminder, you don't have to be a church member to attend. It just means you won't be able to vote on any decisions, but input's always appreciated. So if you'd like to attend, don't feel embarrassed. Come along and join us at 7:30 p.m. in the Jubilee Hall. On Wednesday, the prayer meeting will be held at 8 p.m. on Zoom. And on Friday, the church cafe will meet at 10 a.m. in the church hall, and the craft group will meet 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Saturday, it's the walk and a picnic, Coombe Abbey. It starts at 11:30, or meet at 11:30 a.m. Please bring your own food for the picnic, but if you want to bring something to share, then you'd be most welcome to, that's okay. There will be some chairs and a gazebo slash tent for those who don't want to walk but just want to come and sit and relax. So if you don't want to walk, that's a good idea. You can just sit and watch everyone else walk. It's not so strenuous either. And there will be tea and coffee available, and we pray that the sun shines, or at least the rain doesn't spoil the day. Next Sunday's service will be at 11 a.m. and led by Esther Meininger, and the worship warriors will meet at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. It's now my privilege and pleasure to welcome John to our service this morning. I'll hand over to you. Thank you, John.
Morning, everyone. That's a very hearty morning. Very nice. I'm always assured of a warm welcome when I come here, so it's always good. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 10, where it says, "The Lord is King forever and ever." So that speaks of his how he reigns. But some might think that means he's unapproachable. You know, he's way out there beyond interesting folks like me and you. But it goes on to say, "The Lord is King forever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You, Lord, hear the desires of the afflicted. You encourage them, and you listen to their cry. Defender of the fatherless and the oppressed." So this king has a big heart. But let us open our worship by singing, "Lift up your heads to the coming king."
I don't know this one, so tell them to put the words up, and I'll play it all the way through. Then we'll sing through twice.
Let us commit our time together to the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you are such an amazing God. You are the King forever and ever. And yet, being so high and lifted up, we can still come and approach you, such is your heart for us. So we thank you, Lord, for your tender love and care, and that we can come before you no matter how we are. Indeed, at this time, we remember those who are not well. Remember particularly Audrey, who had the fall. I pray, Lord, that you would grant her a swift recovery and that you would brighten her heart, even where she is now. And for others who are suffering from ill health, may they know your comfort and the way you care for them at this time. And as we here wait upon you, may we know your presence in a very real way. Not just because you have promised to do so, but because we know in our hearts, we know in our minds, we are convinced that yes, you are delighted to be with us, your people. And so I pray, Lord, that you would really touch our hearts, do a work in our lives, that we would be encouraged, we would be even rebuked if need be, that we would become more like you. So we thank you, Lord, for this amazing relationship we have with you. Not only are you King, but you are also our Father. So our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So, I guess we know that prayer, almost inside out. Okay, we say it often. But we sometimes take for granted that he is our Father. And that speaks of a very special relationship that we have with him. So may we never take for granted that this King of Kings is also our dear Heavenly Father. And he loves us so much that he even gave his own dear son to die for us. And so we're going to sing about that there is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own son, where it says in the chorus, thank you, O my Father, for giving us your son.
Thank you.
At this point in our service, we have the opportunity to give our gifts and offerings. Yes, you are indeed exalted on high. And I just pray, Lord, that from our hearts, within our hearts, you would also be exalted on high. And so, Lord, as we give these gifts, I pray, Lord, they would be from a glad and a sincere heart, and that you would accept these gifts, and that along with them, we would give our very lives as a daily offering. But I do pray, Lord, that you would give wisdom to the people of this church to use it in extension of your kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Bible reading is from Psalm 68. It's about singing praises to God. And sometimes we don't much feel like it, because you know as well as I do that life is not a bed of roses. So even when we're in bad situations, when things are not going well, still God is worthy to be praised. So Psalm 68, I'll be reading from verse 4. Sing to God. Sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. And so from that short passage, we can see that because God is our Father, indeed Father of the fatherless, we can sing his praises no matter what is happening around us. Indeed, is it Psalm 23? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's still with us. And so we're going to sing about that in our next song. Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care.
Thank you.
So, I guess like many of you, I've been going to church for many years. We're talking decades here. And I've been to more than one church, for several. And I can recall often daffodils being handed out on Mother's Day, which is a lovely gesture. But when I think back, how many Father's Day services can I remember? Now, I'm not bitter, but there doesn't seem to be the same focus on Father's Day. And I find that quite perplexing. So you'll know it's Father's Day today. I'm going to talk about fatherhood with a big focus on the fatherhood of God. You've got a hint of that by the songs we've been singing already. So fathers. Now fathers, they play a crucial role in our families. You could argue that governments or the narrative are trying to break up the family unit, but that is to our detriment. I'm not saying or suggesting that mothers don't do a great job, but the statistics, if you believe statistics, the statistics tell us some sobering figures. For instance, children have a much better start in life if they have a father at home. And to bear this out, of all the young men in prison, okay, all the young men in prison, how many do you suppose were brought up with absent fathers? This is an old study, but it gives us a picture of the magnitude of the problem, is that 76%, three quarters of young men in prison had absent fathers when they grew up. And for girls, also badly affected, with absent fathers, girls are more likely to develop eating disorders, more prone to depression, struggle to build and maintain relationships, and are more likely to become sexually active at a younger age. Okay, all this to do with absent fathers. And so I'm here to sound the bell for fathers. Okay, fathers matter. They matter immensely. If their place in society diminishes, society suffers. Allow me to talk about my own dad for a while. My dad, he fled from China before the Cultural Revolution. So even before me or my siblings were born here in the UK, he prayed for us. Even before we were born, he prayed for us as he traversed the Atlantic Ocean in the hull of a cargo ship fleeing communist China. And you can imagine the typical thing that a Chinese guy would do when he comes here. He set up a Chinese takeaway. Very good one, I might say. So he opened his Chinese takeaway. It's in Coventry, just by the Lower Precinct. It was called the Eden Garden. With the rest of his family still back in China, he would often go backwards and forwards, visiting his friends. And as he went, he would smuggle in hymn books and Bibles. Okay, to the degree that it was at some stage he was banned from visiting his own family, banned from the mainland. So no doubt my father did great things for God. No question about that whatsoever. But how was he as a dad to me? Unfortunately, he wasn't great. Okay, why was he not great? In that we couldn't even speak the same language. Okay, so when I get home from school, he's working in the takeaway. So growing up, I hardly ever saw my dad. I'm not saying it's his fault, not at all. He worked hard. But we couldn't speak the same language. We never had a conversation with my dad, even though we loved each other dearly. But yet, it was my dad who played a crucial role in bringing me to Christ. How was that? Well, it was the way he prayed. When he prayed, he had such a connection with God that it was undeniable that his Father, his Heavenly Father God, was real, very real. And that is what got me thinking. He's got something there that I'm missing, something there that I can't live without. Okay, when he prayed, it was like a soliloquy with tones. It was beautiful. He prayed with tears And that's what brought me to Christ. when I was very young, I used to think, wouldn't it be great if my dad was more famous? You know, perhaps like a football player. You know, they get paid tons, don't they? Imagine how much more wealthy we would be if my dad was a football player. Or what about if my dad was a politician, prime minister? Imagine the power and influence my dad would have had. But then I was young. But now I've come to realise that actually I had much better. For my father is indeed the creator of the universe. Is this your father? The father of heaven and earth. And he's not just king. He's king of kings. And if he is king, then that makes us his heirs, his royal heirs. We are princes and princesses. So what an amazing Heavenly Father we have. It would be impossible to imagine a better Father than our dear Heavenly Father. So let us delve deeper into this wonder, which is the fatherhood of God. Now, the first thing that can be said about God, our Father, is the fact that Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship. Okay, this is what makes Christianity so much more precious than anything else. Now, many people seem to categorize themselves as Christian. After all, they live in a Christian country. And so it might be natural for them to call themselves Christian. I suppose it describes the set of values that they're brought up with. But is God truly their Heavenly Father? Or is Christian just a label that they use? See, only a true child of God, the child of our Father, will understand the warmth that we have with him as a relationship, a loving relationship. So, Christianity is not a matter of rules of do's and don'ts. It is a relationship with love and devotion. Okay, this is what we have with our Father. Now, when we think about our own fathers, some fathers are impossible to please. Okay, you get fathers like that. Okay, you spent ages washing the car. He comes out and has a look and he says, "No, you missed a bit there." Okay, some fathers are like that. Or you come running home excited, you say, "I got an A in my exam." And he says, "Why didn't you get an A star plus?" Okay, there's no pleasing some people. And so these children who have been brought up by such fathers, they don't feel good enough. No matter how hard they try, no matter what they achieve, they somehow are dissatisfied by their own selves. And they bring this up into the adulthood, and it still is hard to shift. And so a word of caution. When we describe God as our Father, I understand that it doesn't always paint a beautiful picture with our earthly fathers. I get that. So if this is the case for you, then please don't transfer the ugly traits of a bad father to our dear Heavenly Father, who does all things well, who loves us beyond we can imagine. Now, at this point, we run into a bit of a problem in that none of us have ever seen our Heavenly Father. Well, the Bible describes him well. We know a lot about our Heavenly Father if we read the Scriptures. In fact, it covers him so well that he even describes what he is not like as a Heavenly Father. For instance, if you ask for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. Yeah? He's not going to give you a scorpion, say, if you ask for fish. Okay, he knows how to give good gifts. If you come to him pleading for help, and he's not going to turn you away like an unjust judge would. So others, they might have fathers that were not interested. Now, maybe they have worked long hours, and they come home, they sit in front of the telly or behind a newspaper, and you dare not approach them until they've settled down. But I guess the most common grievance against the modern father is that they are just too busy. You know, work takes so much time out of our lives. Well, thankfully, our Heavenly Father is not like this. We can approach Him with confidence at all times, whenever we are, however we feel. He's always interested in every aspect of our lives. He is there for us both day and night. He never slumbers and He never sleeps. Think about a shepherd. When the shepherd goes to sleep, then their flock are in danger from being savaged by wolves and bears. Well, listen to the way Jesus describes the security that we have in God our Father. In John chapter 10, it says, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. In fact, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Okay, such is His love and care. Such is His power that we can have in our security in Him. So we can rest assured. We have immense peace and reassurance that once He becomes our Father, He remains our Father forever. Even if we are badly behaved, even when we are unfaithful, He is our Father to the end. He will never abandon His loved ones. Well, actually, there was one exception. There was one He did once abandon. He abandoned His own dear Son on the cross. You remember, Jesus called Him my Father. Yeah, my Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. But there was a point on the cross where He didn't call Him my Father. He said, my God, why have You forsaken me? So at that time when He died on the cross for our sins, that is how much He loves us. I don't know if you know this song, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure that He should give His only Son to make a wretch like me His treasure. How great the pain of sin and loss. The Father turns His face away, and wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. What an amazing love He has for us. And so we see there that for a time, God the Father abandoned His Son. Why? So that for eternity, you and I might be able to call Him our Father. Isn't that beautiful? What an immense privilege. It is a privilege that also comes with our responsibilities. We have obligations. See, if we can grasp the enormity of the situation, that He is on the throne forever, that we can call Him our own Father, that we don't need to concern ourselves with those things that the other people might concern themselves with. Okay, nothing is too big that surprises God our Father. Nothing is so terrible that He is unable to save us. This is how Jesus described it in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verse 25. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and your body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not store or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And so, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat tonight?' or 'What shall we wear tomorrow?' For the pagans run after these things, and your Heavenly Father, He knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So there's a beautiful reminder of the security and the protection that we have with our Heavenly Father, who loves us so, so much. And so there is a peace that this world knows nothing about, that the child of God knows. A peace found only in Jesus, if he is your Lord and Saviour. A peace found only in God, if he is your Heavenly Father. What an amazing privilege it is that we can have an intimate relationship with God Almighty, the King of Kings, and yet we can come to him, Abba, Father. So, our obligations. Let's not make a mistake that this is not just a one-way street. It's not all he gives and we take. We have obligations. I mean, this is the basis of any relationship. It should be a two-way thing. And so the Bible is clear about what it demands of us being God's children. This is what it says in 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Okay? Wow. He's lavished his love on us. Now, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And dear friends, now we are the children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. Oh, I've lost my place. Hang on. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Therefore, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. So we need to be pure before our Heavenly Father, just as he is pure. And when Jesus came into this sorry world, he became like us, a man of sorrows, that we might become like him. That was a wonderful exchange. So it says in 1 Peter 1, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Be holy, he says, because I am holy. Okay, he is our holy Heavenly Father, and we need to yearn for that holiness in our lives also. And so there's this pursuit of holiness that befits every genuine child of God. Of course, we will slip up. Okay, we all know that. There will be times when we fall. We make mistakes. But let us not get crippled by guilt. Okay, the blood of Jesus has removed that guilt from us. And don't forget that the devil will try to pour on this guilt, make you feel defeated, to make you ineffective as a Christian. Well, don't fall for the devil's tactics. Okay, remember, we are in a permanent relationship with God our Father, and he will never abandon us. So no matter how badly we let God down, he will never let us go. Okay, that is the assurance of the scriptures. He will never cast you aside. The only thing he does cast aside are our sins. Isn't that a wonderful thing? This is Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Okay, he is a father who has his big heart for each and every one of his children. I'm reminded of the parable of the prodigal son. Okay, I don't know if you've driven through the countryside past a pig farm. You know you will have, because the smell is so bad. But how did the father greet his prodigal son? Even though he stank terribly, he'd squandered all his wealth, and yet his father, when he saw him, who wasn't filled with anger. The Bible says he was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Even though he'd been so bad, such is his love. And so despite the wayward squandering, this wayward man squandering all his wealth, his father's heart was much bigger than all his problems. His heart was an undying love, an unfading love. And so for sure, God has called us to a life of holiness. We are commanded to live as children of light. Being holy, therefore, is not an option. Okay, we need to be living a holy life in order to please him. Now, the process of being made holy isn't necessarily a comfortable one, where we have our rough edges knocked off. So yes, it is a struggle. And the Bible doesn't stray away from the fact that it is a struggle to walk the straight and narrow. As it says in Hebrews 12, verse 4, it says, in your struggle against sin, okay, we all have our struggles, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. We are his children. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. And he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? Jump into verse 10. Our fathers disciplined for us a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So remember, even though it's quite a difficult passage to grapple with, it is given as a word of encouragement. Okay, it's not to beat us on the head, but to encourage us to become more holy. So every hardship that we encounter, we should be learning from our experiences. Okay, especially the bad experiences, we can learn a lot from. Remind yourself, is God loving me? Is he still my Heavenly Father? Yes, no matter what you're going through. And so when things get really tough, it's easy to doubt his works. It's sometimes easy to doubt his ways. Now, if we're brave enough, we'll pray, God, do you really know what you're doing in my life? Well, the answer is surely yes. As he says in Isaiah, my ways are higher than your ways. So there will be times when we don't understand what our Heavenly Father is doing. I mean, listen to how Jesus put it again in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7. Which of you, if he has a son, asks for bread, will give him a stone? Okay, we know that's ridiculous. Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? So as the perfect Heavenly Father, you can be confident that he will deal with you perfectly. Okay, sometimes we might disagree or just not understand, but he is, always is, the perfect Father. He knows exactly how best to form you into his image, to turn you into his masterpiece. Okay, he is the master craftsman, making us more like Jesus. He just wants to bring out the best in you. That's his aim. So let me draw to a close. Our God is indeed a wonderful Father. I'm sure none of us doubt that. In fact, he is the best Father that you could possibly ever hope to have. So if you think that you have a good Father down here, then God is 100 times better when you compare the two. If your father didn't treat you well, well, don't let that cast a shadow of the way you view our dear Heavenly Father. He is the exact opposite of what a bad father is today. And finally, what if you don't have a father? Well, it doesn't have to stay this way. As we read at the beginning, see, the Bible has precious word of comfort in Psalm 68, where God is heartwarmingly described as Father of the fatherless. And you can be sure of this, that no one is too old to be fathered. Okay, no matter where we are, what stage we are in life, it is a wonderful thing to be fathered by our Heavenly Father. And so, as we go on from this place, let us walk in the knowledge that our dear Heavenly Father knows best. Okay, He loves us more than we can imagine, and He will direct our paths in a way that is best for us, to make us grow and shine and to become more like Jesus. Let us remember that God alone is the perfect Father. Amen. So in our closing song, lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us over the world's tempestuous sea. Guard us, guide us, keep us, feed us, for we have no help but Thee. So we thank you, Lord, Lord God Almighty, that we can come before you, Abba, Father. And so as we leave this place, we know that our lives will be ups and downs. Things will be difficult as well as easy. But help us remember, whatever the circumstances, to remember that you are our dear Heavenly Father. You know exactly what is best for us. You know exactly how to mould us and fill us by your Spirit to make us more like Jesus. So help us then, Lord, to shine for you wherever we go, that people might see the love of our Heavenly Father in our words and in our deeds. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.